Let's read together 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Here we have the account of the widow's oil multiplied, another of Elisha's miracles. 2 Kings 4, verse 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." All right, first of all, some background notes to help us understand what's going on in this miracle of Elisha. We've mentioned before that the sons of the prophets were the seminary students or the Bible college students of the day. There were several of these schools located in the northern kingdom of Israel where Elisha's ministry was centered. And in verse 1, we see that these schools of the prophets were not some kind of celibate monastic orders because marriage was permitted. We read here that a widow of one of these sons of the prophets was in need. Her husband had died. Now she's a widow in need. So she comes to Elisha and says, there in verse 1, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." In order to meet this need and pay the debt, a miracle took place by the hand of Elisha. The widow only had a little oil in her home, but it was multiplied and then sold, and the debt was paid. The oil, as you know, was not motor oil, but olive oil, used in that day for cooking, for lamp fuel, as well as for anointing. So there was a ready market for this widow's oil. Now, just one more background note before we move on to the doctrinal points. What about this creditor in verse 1? He's coming to collect the debt, and because she can't pay, he's going to take her two sons to be his slaves. Now, why didn't Elisha just rebuke this creditor and report him to the authorities concerning this matter of taking her sons into slavery? Well, you need to understand that under the Old Testament law, this kind of slavery was permitted to pay off a debt. It was kind of like indentured servanthood. But it was regulated so that the person was treated as a hired servant, not as a slave like you might think. And then this servant was freed after so many years. We read about this in the law in Leviticus 25. I'm reading Leviticus 25, verses 39 and 40. "And if one of your brethren who dwells by you becomes poor and sells himself to you, you shall not compel him to serve as a slave, but as a hired servant." So we see then that God met this widow's need, not by Elisha zapping the creditor or something like that. No, but rather by a miracle which enabled her to pay the debt that she owed. Now that brings us to our doctrinal points from this miracle, this first miracle in 2 Kings chapter 4. Doctrinal point number 1, the needs of widows are known to God. The needs of widows are known to God. This widow lived in the northern kingdom of Israel. There was no government agency to care for her needs. There were no churches to care for her needs. In fact, because her husband had been associated with one of these schools of the prophets, she was an outcast as far as many of the idolatrous citizens of the northern kingdom. And the schools of the prophets did not have any pension plans in those days. But this widow was trusting God to meet her needs. And the needs of widows are known to God. Deuteronomy 10, verse 18 says that God administers justice for the widow. Psalm 146, verse 9, God supports the widow. So if you're here as a widow this morning, you can be sure that the needs of widows are known to God. You know, on Friday afternoon of this past week, my mother moved into a retirement home in New Jersey. And as many of you know, my father died last February, so since that time, a lot of decisions have had to be made in reference to my mother. Should she sell a house? When should she sell a house? Should she stay in the area where she owned our home? Should she go and live with one of her children? All three children invited her to come live with us. All these decisions, all these needs. Well, it's been wonderful to see how the Lord has met my mother's needs. He's guided her step by step in these decisions. You can be sure that the needs of widows are known to God. Doctrinal point number two. The extent of God's blessing is dependent on faith and obedience. The extent of God's blessing is dependent on faith and obedience. God blessed this widow, but notice that she obeyed in faith. The word of the Lord to her through the prophet Elisha was to go and collect as many empty containers as possible, even from all of the neighbors. And she obeyed in faith. Can you imagine this widow and her sons going knocking on doors, you know? Hey, you got any old jars or old pots around here? Well, I'm sure she was met with various responses. What are you talking about? Or, yeah, we got a bunch of them out in the shed there. You can go take whatever you want. In any case, she obeyed in faith and was blessed with a miracle. Notice verse 6. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. You got a great spiritual lesson here. God's supply is as great as our faith. If there had been more containers, the oil would not have ceased. The oil would not have stopped. The extent of God's blessing, do you see the doctrinal point? The extent of God's blessing is dependent on faith and obedience. Do you want God's blessing in your life? Are you willing to obey God and walk by faith? Don't limit God's blessing in your life by lack of faith and disobedience. Let's just take one illustration. Let's take the matter of paying back a debt that you may have. You see, this widow not only obeyed by getting the empty vessels, she obeyed God by paying back her debt. She knew that it was not right to stay in debt. Do you owe any money right now? Have you borrowed something that you really should pay back? God's word says, owe no one anything. Romans 13, verse 8. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody here this morning. Don't expect God's blessing on your life if you're not willing to obey what the Lord says in all of his word. The extent of God's blessing is dependent on faith and obedience. Now that's kind of practical, isn't it? This matter about paying back debts. But let's take a couple of more practical applications from this first miracle in 2 Kings 4. Practical application number one. What do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? Look again, verse 2. Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? And she said, well, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Well, God took what she had in her house and multiplied it. That's how the debt was paid. That's how her needs were met. So the question to us this morning, for each one of us, is this. What do you have in your house? Maybe you don't have much, but you start with what you have, not with what you don't have, and let God do the rest. And we're not thinking just of literal houses here. What do you have literally in your literal house? Do you see the spiritual lesson? You may think you don't have much, not much spiritual gift, not much natural talent. You can't do much the way you see it. You don't have much, spiritually speaking, as far as you're concerned. Well, if you're a Christian, you know you have the Holy Spirit. In fact, the oil here in the earthen jar is most likely a spiritual picture of that very truth. Well, start here and begin to share the oil with other clay pots. Share the things of Christ with others. You'll be amazed at what God can do through you, even though your testimony is small from your perspective, even though your small testimony is all you have. Start with what God has given you, and you definitely have the Holy Spirit if you're a believer. God can miraculously touch many lives through you. What do you have in your house? You definitely have the Holy Spirit. You may think you don't have much, spiritually speaking, hardly any natural talent, what spiritual gift you're still wondering and so forth. Well, you definitely have the Holy Spirit. You start with what you have and be willing to let God miraculously touch other clay pots through you. Practical application number two. We must be emptied before we can be filled. We must be emptied before we can be filled. Let's continue this spiritual lesson about the oil a little further. In order for the many jars to be filled, the many containers to be filled, they had to be emptied first. Verse 3. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. I can imagine all kinds of things being dumped out of some of these vessels before they were filled. Maybe even some garbage had to be thrown out. Well, in the same way, if we would be filled with the Spirit, we must be emptied of self. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to acknowledge that you can't save yourself. You must empty yourself of all of your own efforts and turn to Christ alone for salvation. He will fill you with His Spirit. If you're here this morning as a Christian, but you know you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're wondering what the problem is, the key is that we need to empty ourselves of ourselves. More of God, less of self. Think of all those different containers that were collected by the woman and her sons. They must have been all sizes and shapes, but they all had one common characteristic. Before they were used, they were emptied. Well, we too come in all sizes and shapes. We're all different. But there's one thing that should be a common characteristic of all of us if we're going to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be emptied of self. We must be emptied before we can be filled.